Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Thank you guys for your ministry, and thank you worship team for your ministry. There we go. All right. Once in a while that happens. I want to start by saying thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who worked and pitched in and preached and ministered while Tasha and I were out of town. Last weekend, we were across Lake Pontchartrain, right out of New Orleans. And so, who dat? And then I had to come home, late flight. We were ahead when I got on the plane, and we were behind when I got off. And so the Vikings lost to the Saints. But while I was down there, amidst all the black and gold, we were pleased to see the Holy Spirit moving amongst couples. I love to hear the testimonies. 24 couples from all around that area, the greater New Orleans area. I just delight in seeing the different personalities and the different characters and to hear the great stories. Let me just share one with you. I had one couple there. There was a list and a waiting list. And they were on the waiting list, and it was 3 hours before the weekend was to begin. And the coordinator of the weekend called this couple and said, "We've gone down the list. And there is an opening if you can make it." Now, that's quite a leap sometimes for somebody to hear and then 3 hours later be somewhere. And it just so happened to be this couple's anniversary. And the husband shared how the wife plans things and I just show up. And he enjoys it. He just enjoys her creativity. And so there was somebody in position to take care of the pets, somebody to take care of the kids. Everything was all taken care of, all lined out. They came in plenty of time, and they showed up. And then at the end of that weekend on a Sunday afternoon, for them to share how they just felt like things had been renewed in their life, and they felt like Jesus had visited with them and brought grace to them. You could see it on their face. You could hear it in their voice that they just had an encounter with God, and they realized God loves us, and He cares about our marriage. And He has resources for us. It was just powerful in that context. So thank you for allowing us that opportunity from time to time as we serve on a national level with Assemblies of God Marriage Encounter. And we usually are here at Dallas-Fort Worth. And sometimes I can work it out where we go. And then I sneak over here on Sunday and then head back over. And they needed us in New Orleans. And despite all the plane delays and everything else, it all worked out, all for the honor and the glory of Jesus. So I want to say thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you, Pastor Cindy. Thank you, Pastor Brian, for leading the worship. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Brother Matt, for making sure everything is lined out, open, unlocked, set, ready to go for last Sunday. Did y'all have a time without us last Sunday? Just checking. Amen? It certainly had a time. And I've heard some good reports of the ministry and the preaching. I'm thankful to the Lord that He was in both places at the same time, and His grace is so abundant and so and full and so free. There's something on your seat that I tried to make sure is on every seat in here, and I want you to prepare your hearts and get ready, because there's something right there. If you want to take this, I'd love it if you take this and put it on, unless you're highly allergic or something. As far as I know, these have been tested most people are not allergic to these. But if you need an EpiPen, anybody got an EpiPen just in case? Huh? On there it says, every tribe, every nation. It's a theme for our missions convention upcoming in 2 weeks. On the 18th, everybody say in two weeks. On November the 18th, right here, we want to have a missions convention. Christopher Garnold hyphen Smith. That's my typo. It snuck in there. Christopher Garnold hyphen Smith. Just to hear him speak, it's just one of, he just has a great English accent. And here's going to be a great project he's going to be sharing with us. I just want to let you know, as a church, last year we had over $250,000 come through our church. Amen? That was double what it was 4 years ago. Okay? Now, here's what I would like to see. And we're going to work toward this. Everybody say work towards it. Okay. I would love to see our church align with the idea that 10% of what comes through our church flows into missions. So that means if the Lord entrusts to us $250,000, I'd love to see $25,000 of that go into missions. That's orphans. That's local missions. That's mission trips. That's youth going on mission trips. That's kids going on mission trips. That's people taking mission trips out of the congregation, as well as supporting worldwide missions, which begin right here at our doorstep and out. And we need to lump in our evangelism outreaches, because how many of you know we need to reach Jerusalem?
Yes, sir.
So I would like to see our evangelism outreach emphasis all the way through foreign missions encompass $25,000 a year. That means roughly $2,000 a month. That's 20 people at 100. Or that's 40 people at 50. You see what I'm saying? And so if everybody was to give above the tithes, above, and everybody say above and beyond the tithes. We move into giving when we get past the tithe. So we tithe into the local storehouse and then we give. And if we could give above and beyond our tithe, and if everybody in this room was to give out of their family $50 a month to missions, a commitment, $50 a month, that would put us in that realm. So it and would bring it all in. And you know what I really sincerely would like to do? When I mention outreach, youth outreach, outreach every 90 days, going door to door, setting up inflatables, having a carnival, that I never end that by saying, but we can't do that unless you give. See what I'm saying? If we could just say, you know what, if everybody was to give between $50 and $100 a month, above and beyond the tithe, we could reach our Jerusalem, reach Judea, reach our Samaria, reach into the uttermost parts of the earth, and really have an impact like we've never had before. Amen? And so what I'm asking you to do is I'm wanting to tell you that and ask you that. I'd like for you to put this around. And now, how many have ever heard of people have a hard time? I know there's nobody in this room that fits them. But they tithe like a string around your finger to remember something. Then you can't remember why you put that string around your finger. Now, on your wrist here, you have a reminder. Every tribe, every nation. And this is our upcoming theme for the year. And so every time you see that, maybe if you popped it, it would remember, you know, remind you, not too loud. Get it. And what's that about? Well, our church is having a missions convention in 2 weeks. And here's what we're doing. We're going to prepare our hearts over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to pray about this. And I'm going to be ready to come and make a commitment or a pledge towards missions that I'm going to begin January 2019 through December 2019. So we'll begin that past the holidays, past Thanksgiving, but we're going to have the convention and let our hearts be stirred and prepared, and we can be a participant in a wonderful film outreach into the North African area that's going to transcend Muslim boundaries. And Christopher Garnold Smith is putting together quite a project, and I'd like to see us be able to help them get that done in North Africa. But not only that, we have missionaries that we're supporting right now that we are actually in the verge of actually under-supporting. And rather than taking money out of the general fund, we just need to have our missions dollars do that. But not only that, but we have some wonderful young couples in Chi Alpha and other places that are ready to go into the missions field, and they're ready to go on a song and a prayer and a very small budget, and they just need partners. And I'd like for us to move back into that. We've gone through some tough times as a congregation, and we knew what it was like to really cut our expenses, and we're coming into health. And as we flower and as we grow, I want us to always be connected right in the depths of our DNA to seeing that His gospel gets out to every tribe, every nation. Amen? So I just wanted to give that to you this morning as a reminder. And we're going to be meeting as a missions committee this afternoon and putting the final touches and putting things together. And let's target November 18th, just the Sunday before Thanksgiving, to really be poised as a congregation, have a great service here on Sunday morning and a great meal together and hear some great reports of what God is doing and wants to do with us around the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. So receive that as a gift. That's your tithe dollars at work. So if you take that, put that on. I'm not going to inspect as you go out the door much. Ephesians chapter 2, Verse number 10. I'm going to look at Brother Steve. I looked at his PowerPoint outline. Looks to me like he covered 8 and 9. Is that right? Okay. He's saying, what? What? Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. And I want to start with that first verse as I talk this morning about masterpieces, a matter of perspective. Everybody say, a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. For we are God's workmanship. Let's all say this together. It's right there up on the screen, or should be. There's a PowerPoint there. We're going to go on, and where'd Pastor Matt go? Did he just, was he raptured and we all missed it? There, Cosmic Christianity. There we go. There we are. We're training, and we're a work in progress here. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Let's say it together. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, what is true of everyone together, and this is true of everyone together, and we have an identity together as a body of Christ, let's personalize this and make this the singular pronoun. And so that means I do good work. God, and we're going to say that together, right? For I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. Wow. Now we can personalize that. The beautiful thing about the body of Christ is that He is working within us individually as well as pulling us together corporately so that we work interdependently. Interdependently, because no one in this room is sufficient to do the work that God's called him to do. I need you. Those are hard words to say sometimes. I need you, and you need me. We need each other to come together in what God has for us. God's word brings perspective from out of this world into this world. Think about that. What you have in your possession as a Bible, written in, 26 translations, written in languages all over the earth, having begun in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so we have this where we can read it, we can understand it. It's in full color. It's cartooned out for children to understand. It's just amazing what God's Word what's happened with God's Word and the spread of it. God's Word brings perspective. It's a perspective which comes from outside of our world into our world. This book is inspired. It is God breathed. He moved upon men to write what He revealed to them, not as automatons with glazed eyes and holding a pencil to a paper, not realizing what they were doing, but men whose understanding was open. He were shown some things, and they were given a heavenly vision, and God urged them to share it with us. Aren't you glad God's in the sharing business? And they shared this with us. This is an out-of-this-world book that brings us into perspective of everything that God has created. Now, when it comes to a matter of perspective, here's a definition for you. It even tells you how to phonetically pronounce it. Perspective. I want to focus on the second definition there. It says a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. It goes on to say a point of view. And then there are some synonyms. Outlook, view, viewpoint, point of view. POV, for those of you that like acronyms and everything that you do. Standpoint, position, stand, stance, angle, slant, frame of mind, frame of reference, approach, way of looking, interpretation, and in the light of the fact that we are moving towards an election day, spin. How many of you heard that? That's a matter of perspective. There's even a radio program. I still think it's going. Now headed up by Kirby, but it used to be headed up by another gentleman over in Dallas, another minister of the gospel, Assembly of God minister. It was called Point of View with Marlon Maddox. So we are, and by the way, let me just add this in because I just said spin in politics. we have a graduation going on Tuesday night. We have people who are finishing their study in finances, Financial Peace University. And as a church, we're learning to celebrate some things. And so there's going to be a cake and some sandwiches, and we're just going to commend those people. Some of them don't even attend our church, and we just want to let them know we love them, we appreciate them, and we're grateful that they have stuck to it and walked through this video series with Shannon and Mary, and are coming to a graduation on Tuesday night. And so that's going to finish up about 8:30, and then you know what? There's going to be a politics watching party. For those of you that are all interested, so after that, if you'd like to come and watch some election returns and have a thick skin and can handle how things go, then please, there's some of us that are political nerds, and we enjoy that stuff. And so there's just going to be a political nerd celebration or crying party. I'm not sure what, but it's kind of like the Super Bowl of politics. And so we're going to be doing that after that graduation on Tuesday night, okay? All right, here, everybody back on track. I'm sorry for that. I should have handled that earlier. Perspective. There's a lot of argument over perspective in there. When you turn on the news, it's important what perspective it's coming from, because perspective can mean everything in sharing of information. Perspective is important in art. And I picked up a couple things. How many of you ever seen sidewalk chalk art? Amazing. Here's some illustrations of some sidewalk chalk art. How do you like that one? Walking down the street and you're about to fall down into the pit. This looks like a way into Dante's Inferno. It appears to be set somewhere in Europe, probably in Italy. And how many of you would feel like walking around that? Who's the brave soul that's going to try walking over it? I'm not sure. I have to be really sure that that's just a piece of art. Here's another one. If that's not enough, how about that one? Indiana Jones theme. And you can really fall a long way down there on the cows. How about this one? An underground cavern. Sidewalk chalk art. How about this one? This isn't as exhilarating. Isn't this beautiful? Let's look at this one. This is not chalk art, but the backside of a tapestry, right? How many of you just love the backside of that tapestry? Isn't that just beautiful? Well, there's some nice yarn there, some nice textures, but man, it doesn't make any sense. But how about if you turn it around? Let's look at the next one. Ah, that's better. Now our perspective is changed, and we can see it. And how about this one? Let's look at this next one. What in the world? It looks like two tracks out through the desert. But let me tell you, this is actually situated in Peru, in the highlands. And this is called the Nazca Lines. And if you get way above it, this is what it looks like. All of a sudden, that which looked like a path in the desert now makes sense. It's something that has to be laid out for someone above to view. Now, our evolutionary theory intrudes into our life, and we think that man discovered flight when Orville and Wilbur left the sands of Kitty Hawk for 22 feet. But actually, there's evidence that people were much smarter and much technologically adept, that they could have been suspended from kites, much like hang gliders, or used the thermals and the winds to glide like the birds, even as far back as that time. Isn't that amazing? So that's, rather than chase that for very long, let me just say that it's a matter of perspective. That simple line across the desert now makes sense when it's put with the big picture. And that's a statement we use often. Let's get the big picture. God is here to offer us the big picture. My life doesn't make much sense, and at times can feel jumbled. But when I see how it fits with God's masterpiece and how I fit in connection with others, suddenly that which made no sense begins to have perspective, and something changes inside of me that I say, I am not insignificant. I am not unconnected or disconnected, but there is a plan for my life. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a plan for you. So go on and read from verse number 10. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Prepared, past tense. It's already planned. God has the plan. And I want to tell you something. God is a wonderful planner. For those of you that just, I know who I frustrate. People I regularly frustrate are the people who need the plan way in advance. Let me tell you what my default thinking is. What is way in advance? Oh, about 3 weeks before we do it. Okay? And I'm learning to go back to how about 90 days? Hey, wouldn't it be great if we could go back 6 months? And all of those that love the plan are like, yeah, how about a year? You know when Thanksgiving's going to be in 2025. Couldn't you plan? Oh, that's what, Jesus may come back. And I would have done all that planning for nothing. You know what that tells me? I need people who are planners around me. Because then they can tug on me and say, Pastor, I need that today if we're going to do that. Pastor, we need that last week. And I need to constantly move back because my sense of getting it done soon or planning, starting to plan. And here's the kicker. I tend to work better under pressure. I do, right? Which procrastinators unite. So that means it's always tomorrow. And we can take 24 solid hours and go without sleep, eat or drink, and if we really focus, we can get it done. And then when we're done, you know what we do? I did it! And I did it in 24 hours. And some of you people were taking weeks to do this, and we got it done. Yeah, but at what cost? Right? And how many people are going to share in the experience? It tends to be a rather lonely experience. My wife remembers me sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. Writer's block. I was working on my master's thesis. And I ended up writing 100 and something pages with 25 sources. And I did it in 3 days. But I was forced to. Because in 3 days, if I didn't have it turned in, it was as if I didn't take my master's classes. And I sat there with writer's block paralyzing me, trying to get this done. Well, I want to tell you something. God is not a procrastinator. God is a planner. He has prepared for us in advance those things which we are to do. He's got the idea. He's got the plan. It's all provided for. It's already. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, and he's speaking of the Jew and the Gentile, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's a terrible situation to be in, isn't it? Out on the outside looking in, passed by, not a part, not included. Something was going on in the earth. God was working with a people called the nation of Israel, and everybody was on the outside of that. They were either the people of God or they weren't. And it was very hard and fast. But aren't you glad God had a plan? He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. I want to skip forward to just a couple slides. When verse number 20, 21, and 22 are all by itself. Keep going. I'm jumping around. There we go. Now we go to the next one. The masterpiece is about the artist. Are you with me? The masterpiece is about the artist, but the artist is apparently missing. I want you to think about that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He is our workmanship, but he is the creator. We are the created. He is God and we are not. And what he is doing has this mysterious aspect that he does stuff that gets overlooked all the time because it doesn't necessarily look like him. But think about that. How many bridges have you gone across? How many of you, and I remember when I was traveling, there were 7 bridges that were erected over the river in Budapest, the Danube. Bum, 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 bum. Heard that looping in my earphones as we traveled on the boat. And as we passed under one bridge, the narration says, you are now passing under a bridge built by Eiffel. That was also a tower in Paris. That same technique of construction was used. So when you look at that, you look at the bridge and you say, Eiffel built that. That looks very similar to the other works he's done. But there is not a picture of Eiffel in that bridge. When you get back and look at the bridge, it doesn't look just like his profile. There is nothing about that bridge that says Eiffel except for the similarity to his other work. That's an example of the design is seen in the bridge and you can connect it to somebody, but there's no way to look at that bridge and see that person. When God builds a masterpiece, there is a tremendous amount of mystery to it, and you have to look at it carefully and critically in order to detect his handiwork. Now, some of us, we are masterpieces of God, but there's others of us looking at us going, are you sure, God, that you are at work there? Really? Because that doesn't look to me like something that God would work with. And let me tell you, he's a designer. He's the master planner, and he can take anyone or anything and make something grand and glorious and useful and powerful and wonderful in his hands. And that means he can use you, and you can use me, and he can use this church. And we need not look at it and say, but that's just clay. Wow, when he gets a hold of clay, he can do some awesome things. That's just porcelain. God gets a hold of it, he can make something awesome. Well, that's just concrete. When he gets done, he's the great master worker, and he can take that concrete, that steel, that iron, that glass, that carpeting, it doesn't matter what it is, and when he gets done with it, he can do some awesome things by his grace and his glory, for his grace and for his glory. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. But remember this, humility is critically important to the masterpiece. Humility. Moses and the prophets warned Israel. You know what they warned Israel about? I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to encapsulate much of what the prophets had to say to Israel, especially Moses. It was basically this. Great things have been happening with you, not because you're great, but because God is great. And he did not pick you because you had something to offer. But instead, he picked you because he picked somebody. And he wanted to reveal himself in the earth, so he picked Abraham. And out of Abraham came Isaac and came Jacob, and these were questionable characteristics of people. They had a hard time believing God. They had a hard time being honest. They had a hard time facing up to life. They were shifty. They were sneaky, much like today. They were typical people. And these men had wives that were barren. Try start building a nation out of barren wives. Each of these wives, starting with Sarai, had to have the touch of God touch her life before she could conceive and bring forth children. If that isn't enough, Rebecca had to have a touch from God in order to conceive a child, and Jacob and Esau were born from her. And then study your Bible. Look at the two girls that Jacob married, the twin sisters, possibly twins, Leah and Rachel, and what happens in their lives. It says they had to have their husbands pray to God that their wombs would become open. Isn't that just like God? To take a man and his barren wife and make a promise to him that sounds like this, of your seed I will bless the whole earth. And I will make your seed as numerous as the stars in the heavens and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. I will bless you and make of you a great nation. And you know what Abraham said? Lay it on me. Here's what Abraham said. Okay. There was nothing else he could do. And you know what God did? He touched Abram and changed his name to Abraham. The grace of God touched Sarai, changed her name to Sarah, and the rest is history. They numbered tens of millions, and God's tangible blessing upon that people has touched and graced the earth, and we've never been the same since. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. But what has Moses warned them? It's not about you, it's about God. It's not about your plan, it's about God's plan. He has decided to make covenant with you and reveal His grace and His glory upon you. And He knows He's getting nothing special in the deal. Let all human pride die. And let a true humility begin to spark in our hearts that says, it's not about me, it's about Him. God wants to use me, desires to use me, but He's not asking me for my CV. He's not looking for my curriculum vitae. He's not looking to me for my resume. He's not waiting until I have gotten 3 earned doctorate degrees. God is looking to touch me, bless me, and minister to me right now, use me right where I am, and bring glory and honor and praise to His great name. Paul warned the Gentile churches. What did he warn them? He says, man, the grace of God is poured out on you. You who are not a people are now a people. You're now a part of this church. It's glorious, it's grand, but be careful. Don't boast against the roots that bury you. Don't forget your raw beginnings. Don't forget that you were not a people. Don't forget that you were outside of the fellowship of God. Don't forget there used to be a sign in the temple that's now destroyed that said, death to all Gentiles who enter here. Don't forget that by God's mercy and great grace, you've been gained entrance into the very holy of holies. And now the great grace and glory and honor of the power of the Spirit is on your life. But don't get full of yourself. Don't get full of yourself. Remember the remedy and the power of the blood. Thank you, Brother Steve, for bringing that out this morning in our communion. Remember the remedy and the power of the blood of Jesus the Christ. His blood is still speaking. His blood is still speaking and is taking the things which are divided and bringing them together. Now, peace and unity are keys. Ever say peace and unity? Peace and unity are keys to God's workmanship. Peace and unity. Now, if you're the enemy, what are you going to fight against all the time? Peace and unity. You're going to try to violate the peace of God in a person's heart and amongst people, and you're going to seek to violate unity between persons. Because God separates out His grace to people, you are going to work as the enemy to try to keep people separated. Because when people come together, they can get things done. What does team mean? Together, everyone accomplishes more. You take 2 animals, beasts of burden, draft horses, and they're capable of pulling a load together that's much greater, multiplied by 4 times than a load they can carry individually. Why? Because there's a wonderful, powerful force within God's creation that says that when 2 walk together and are agreed, they get more done. When 1 comes, they chase 1,000. But when 2 agree, 10,000 are put to flight. That's a spiritual principle. That is a principle in God's universe. That is something He has built into the fabric of His universe, and the enemy knows that. So he is always trying to sow division in your heart and disrupt your peace, a spiritual peace, and he is also trying to sow seeds of contention between people. That's why Paul spends most of his time trying to calm down church problems, because their peace and their unity is shattered. It says in verses 17 through 19, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Who were far away? Gentiles. And what did Jesus preach to them? Peace. And peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, I'm going to take back to the words of Jesus in John chapter 4 when he sits beside a well in Samaria. And as he's sitting there, a certain woman, a Samaritan, comes. A Samaritan woman. So Jesus should be avoiding her because she's a woman, and secondly, because she's Samaritan. But how many of you are glad Jesus doesn't avoid people? He sits down, and she comes out when no one else comes out. Because she is a woman of bad reputation, she has to come to the well at a different time than the normal folk. And so Jesus sits there near noon. See, you want to draw water early in the morning when it's cool. This woman is coming around the hottest part of the day when no one else comes because she's one of those people. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows how to deal with one of those people? We have a few of those in this room, maybe. They're just one of those people. Those are the people we want to avoid and not be around because of things in their life or background or packaging. What's happened? There's something about us that causes us to shun. But aren't you glad Jesus doesn't shun? Jesus sits down at this temple, and not this temple. He makes it a temple by his presence, and that I just covered up a total slip right there. And so he's sitting there with this woman, and she says, "You Jews worship in the mountain in Jerusalem, and we Samaritans, we worship according to the tradition of our fathers here in this mountain." Listen to what Jesus does. Number one, he says, "You've got it wrong and we've got it right." Boy, isn't that kind. The whole problem in northern Israel was because of the sin of Jeroboam. And the sin of Jeroboam was hijacking worship away from Jerusalem and moving it to Dan and Ai. And worshiping a golden calf. Hello? And what does Jesus say? No, we worship right. But the time has come. The time is coming, and now is, when those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what Jesus is doing with that woman? He's giving her peace. He's assuring her that God wants peace with her. He's assuring her that God is extending an olive branch. He is the branch that is extended from the hand of God. He is God's olive branch, and he comes to this woman who has been treated as an other and pushed aside and has known no peace or unity, and he comes to her and he says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. And it's a peace that I give you, so it can't be taken away." Give the Lord a hand clap. That's awesome. It's from out of this world. Peace and unity. You know what that woman then does? Goes back into town, and the woman who was shunned and other now becomes the broadcaster of Jesus' peace. And now she talks to those very same people who have chewed her up and spit her out and said, "Come and hear a man that just read my mail and laid out every sin that I had ever done." And they're thinking, "Wow, he's talking about exposing your sin. This is wonderful. Think we want to hear this guy." You know, Jesus stayed for 2 days in that village, and many came into the kingdom those 2 days because somebody had their grace and unity restored. Isn't that awesome? Lord Jesus, come and bring peace and restore unity in this room this morning. And then number three, and I'll close. Well, before I say that, I'm going to say God is working in the meeting of people, relationships, and synergy. Satan is working to reduce people to things, disrupt categories and relationships, and focus everything upon ego and individual. But peace comes from God and exists in our spirit. Unity comes from God and extends from our spirit into our soul and connects us to others. And we can make this declaration: Christ is our peace. Christ has broken down walls of division. Christ brings unity. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. Number three, matter of perspective. I want to help you this morning with something. This has been powerful in my life, and it's helped to transform some matters of my own perspective. When I'm sitting in my own pity party, how many of you know pastors sometimes have pity parties? About Monday morning sometime. Sometimes it starts up on Sunday afternoon. Pastors can have some of the most wonderful pity parties. groups of pastors can get together and they put on hats and do the kazoos and everything. And they just throw one big pity party and talk about how things can be so difficult in ministry. So I'm pulling back the veil and showing you the dark uglies. But you know what? Jesus still uses us. Wow, just blows my mind. There's times I've walked out of a pity party and God's used me powerfully. And I think, man, if I were you, God, I would shrivel me on the spot. I would just slap me senseless, which doesn't take much slapping, by the way. If you can just come away from today with this thought, this kernel, something that would just lodge in your spirit and nurture you, and it's this. You are living your life not just for yourself, but you have an audience. And that audience is, first of all, God. He is your first member of your audience. It's about what he thinks, what he sees, and what he's up to in your life. Amen? There is an unseen realm, and there are angels, there are created beings that are watching your life, and they're watching your life not to just catch you and to condemn you, but they're watching your life because they are catching sight of God's grace in your life. And every time they see God's grace surface in your life, despite who you are and despite your situations and your circumstances, those angels turn around and look at the Father and say, "You are awesome." Give the Lord a hand clap. Now, it would just be a lot more fun if we could see that all the time, right? If we could hear the applause of heaven. If we could hear the well done's just a few times more, which is why it's important for us to encourage one another. It's important for us to say to somebody who's in a struggle, "You know what? I esteem you because I've watched you walk through things that I think if I walk through them right now, they would utterly destroy me. But you have kept standing. You have kept your faith and you have endured. And I just want to say thank the Lord for his grace and thank you for not giving up on God." That's what encouragement sounds like. Encouragement doesn't sound like this. "You know what? You're perfect. You never do anything wrong. You're the life most blessed, and I can't identify with you in any way. And boy, I sure wish I could be with you somehow attain to your level." That sounds like something in the enemy's camp. But in the camp of the people of the Lord, encouragement sounds exactly like that. "Look, I know things haven't gone the way you expected or wanted. I know things haven't turned out the way you had hoped and prayed. But you haven't abandoned your faith. And it sustains you. And there's times I'm sure that I would give up and quit if I were in your shoes. But you know what? You've inspired me. Because you've come up against these adversities and you're still saying, I want to bless the name of the Lord because he has not abandoned me. He is my peace. He is my strength. He is my hope. He is my Redeemer." And we can be like Job and say, "I know my Redeemer lives and I will stand before him on that day." Amen? Amen. Encouragement actually builds unity in the body. It's a powerful, powerful expression of the grace of God. So, this, we are not only viewed there, but we're viewed by people with eyeballs who can watch us. God's watching us. We can't see him watching us. Sometimes it's a spooky thought. Angels are watching us. Sometimes that's a spooky thought. The unclean spirits are watching us. That's a spooky thought. And then there's people watching us. And if the other three didn't scare us, some of that will scare us spitless. People are watching us. And he says, we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, there's the secret, folks. In him. It's not in my power, not in my ability. Life would absolutely turn me inside out and throw me on the garbage heap if it was just about me. But I'm telling you, there's somebody who stands with me in the fire. There's somebody who cheers me from the banister of heaven. There's a crowd of witnesses that stand around me. There are notes and emails and phone calls. There are words of encouragement that are uttered just in the nick of time that enable grace to be released into my life. And I can say this, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Is it any wonder that that just petrifies the enemy with fear? God is in the transaction of building his people and building his temple. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Give the Lord another hand clap. That ought to stir you. Lucifer rejected God's inspired and desired plan for him, despite amazing provision. Just blows my mind, but he did it. And humanity is allowed the same option. Corporately, a church is to connect with his desired and inspired plan for who they are supposed to be, a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what God has planned for Vision Church? That this group of people be so full of the Spirit that when they come together, that they be so full of the Spirit that Jesus is present. In his glory, in his fullness, no matter what uncleanness tries to come in the door, no matter what brokenness comes through the door, no matter what shattered being comes through the door, no matter the medium of that person, when they come in here, they encounter the great craftsman and masterpiece worker, and his hands are laid upon them, and they come with lumps of clay and leave with vessels of honor. Catch a sight of that. The church can be fully called and equipped because there are more people, and Christ can be reflected more fully and more powerfully as a temple of God. I am not enough. My gifts are not enough. My abilities are not enough. My anointing is not enough. I need you. And your ability and your gifts and your calling is not enough. You need somebody else. And when we come together in a synergy, we become the temple of God on the earth. And heaven is manifested upon the earth. His name is written there. Devils shriek and shrink back. Heaven rejoices. And people who are broken and lost have a sense of hope in the middle of hopelessness. And they can come and encounter something from heaven. Folks, if they're going to come and just experience our ability to play an instrument, our ability to speak, our ability to teach, they have missed it. But if they could come, despite our abilities or lack thereof, and encounter the living Lord Jesus. And if they could breathe the air of heaven and experience the flow of his grace moving through submitted vessels of honor, now that is glorious. That is glorious. And people will be able to say, I don't know what church they go to, but I think they've been with Jesus. I think they've been with Jesus. So this is a matter of perspective. How God sees us. How unfallen and fallen heavenly creation sees us. And how our world sees us. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray over you. God has a plan to make you individually a masterpiece. He has an individual plan for everyone in this room. He's God. He not only knows the number of hair on your head, he knows the location of every electron in its orbit around the neutron and proton of the nucleus of every atom, of every molecule, of every cell in your body. He has named every one of them by name. He knows where they're located, and he can do this with one arm tied behind his back. He knows where every star is. He knows where everything is in orbit. Every speck of dust in the entire cosmos, God knows exactly where it's located personally. We cannot expend his energy or get beyond his intellect. He is God and he is awesome. He knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows you intimately. He's inviting you into that intimacy. And he's wanting something to dawn upon your heart this morning. He has a plan to make you individually a masterpiece. How many of you have heard this? God doesn't make junk. But I've seen him take some junk and make masterpieces out of it. God has a plan to make us as a church a masterpiece. And the question is, are you individually and are we willing corporately to accept the touch of the Master's hand? Are we willing to say yes? Are we saying, Lord, it's not about my resume. It's not about my sheet of what I can and cannot do. When you put your call on me, when you lay your anointing upon me, you make me able. You enable me to do that. So, Lord, I don't want to have all of these hoops you have to jump through and all these hurdles I have to make between me and you. How many of you just say, Lord, I don't want any hurdles there, and I've put them up. Society has put them up. The world has put them up. But you have spoken to me from out of this world, and you're saying it's time to let those hurdles be laid down and for nothing to stand between you and your God. There are some individuals in this room that need to have a watershed moment and say, I need to quit letting things stand between me and God, making a masterpiece of me. I'm giving him excuses. I've given him reasons why that cannot be. But I'm saying it's time. That's a prayer for you individually. And then secondly, I want to challenge us as Vision Church for us to say, no more normal, Lord. We have got to be a divine conspiracy. Yes, I said it. And yes, it showed up on Facebook when they said, what did I say a lot? There really needs to be a divine conspiracy in this room where we come and realize something. Look, when we come and get together, I ain't nothing by myself, but when I join together with other people of like faith and like mind, Jesus shows up and he does something powerful. We need to see a new normal around here, and that is an abnormal. That needs to be the other world coming into this world and it being exceptional. And let people scratch their head and say, he's not that good at speaking. That person's not as good at that and that. They have some things that seem to be substandard, but I'll tell you, there's a high quality of heaven that's lurking around in that place. There's something going on. And I just got to know what that is. So where you stand as an individual, where you stand as a part of this body, I want to pray over you right now. I'm going to ask you to stretch your hand towards heaven. And we can start by saying this, Lord Jesus, I don't want to have any more hurdles that I put up. I don't want to have any more reasons to say no. You are the master craftsman. You can take anyone and anything and make something great. Heaven will see it and praise you. We may overlook it, but it's just going to be glorious. So I just want to say yes to you as a person. I want you to take my life, take my ambitions, my abilities, my personality, my strengths and my weaknesses, and Lord, lay your spirit upon them. Anoint them. Equip them. Energize them, all for your glory and for your honor, in Jesus' name. And we come before you as Vision Church. We ask that you'd help us to become better encouragers. We ask that you'd help us to not be mindful of ourselves and that we become more mindful of others, how we may encourage, how we might connect, how we might have the unity in this body that absolutely needs to be here so that we can connect, that we can yoke together, so that we can work together, all for the glory, all for the honor, and all for the praise of the great master worker. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. May God's grace and peace be upon us this week. May we go forth from this place with his prevailing peace and his amazing glory and a sense of a destiny. I am not by myself. I'm not alone. His eye is on me. He has great plans for me, and he has great plans for Vision Church. And we're going to step into it, and we're going to say amen. Amen. Lord bless us as we go.